Hey, you guys, this is Christine Blackburn, and I wanted to thank each and every one of you for listening to Storyworthy. Our numbers have gotten better and better each month, and it's because of fans like you. So tell your friends and family, your coworkers, to listen to the Storyworthy podcast and make it a Storyworthy week.
It's worth it. It's worth it.
Hi, this is Chris Magaha. You may have heard me on Fantastical Musicorium, and now you're going to hear me on Storyworthy.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finn.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from Urban Homeschoolers, a community-based learning center, and Atwater Village, a very happening neighborhood here in Los Angeles.
That is a very happening neighborhood. It's sort of like up-and-coming Atwater Village.
Yes, yes. Actually, Atwater Village is the home. Well, it's right next to Eagle Rock, which is where Occidental College is, where President Obama went to school.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yes, yes,
before he transferred. Atwater Village, also home to the Racket Doctor, the largest tennis store in the city of Los Angeles.
The Racket Doctor. Wow, that was a big come down between the president and the Racket Doctor.
All the employees wear doctor, like they wear scrubs.
Oh, see, already I want to
It's kind of cute. I don't mind. But it's true. Atwater Village is like the next Silver Lake is what it is. All right, you guys. Our topic tonight is homeschooling, and it is brought forth by the actress Chris Magaha.
Chris Magaha, who I'm wondering whether she was homeschooled or if she's homeschooling others. I don't know what her story is going to be.
Well, I think it's something about homeschooling, for sure.
Well, I hope otherwise.
I sure hope
like,
so, or she's throwing us off.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Chris Magaha, she's been on the show before. You know that, Hannes.
She has. She used to come to your apartment, where we used to record it, as opposed to our palatial mobile studio, of course, which we've driven today to Atwater Village, and we parked on Atwater Avenue.
Well, it's interesting that we would be coming from there, because homeschooling isn't necessarily just about being in your home and schooling your children there. I mean, there are centers and facilities that will help you facilitate
right, like
the whole program.
Right, like this is like, homeschooling learning center. Isn't that a school?
Well, you would go there like once or twice a week or whatever. In other words, like I have a couple of friends who homeschool their kids, and they're all doing it based off of somebody else's program, as it were.
Right,
so it's not completely on their own.
Think they're like, you know what, homeschooling, that sounds awesome. And then they realize their kids never leave the house, and they're like, this was not the greatest idea that I ever had. Get out.
Well, that's funny you should say that, because when I became a mom almost 7 years ago, my little girl's almost 7 years
old. Six and three quarters, as she delights in telling people.
Yes, that's right. I thought it was very humorous that when my child turned, well, I had a lot of mom friends because I started the Los Feliz Moms Club, as I think you know that, Hannes.
Yes, I think we all know that, because you mention it every single podcast.
No, but I didn't know anybody who was a mother. I didn't know anybody with children. And so, in fact, if I would see a child, like at House of Pies or somewhere, I'd be like, look, Matt, there's a child. You know, like it was like a sighting.
It does seem like a foreign land. Yeah, exactly. You're like, when you're not in it, it's a completely foreign place. And when you're a parent, everything else.
Club, and within just a few years, there's about 80 moms in the club. I mean, it's very successful. And so I know a lot of different moms, and I've met a lot of different people with different parenting styles. One of the parenting styles is sort of what you're talking about, Hannes, which is like, get the kid the fuck out of the house. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're 2 years old and they put him in school. Or they're three. Like, my little girl didn't start preschool till 4. And I remember people saying to me, when she was 3, you're homeschooling? And I'd be like, homeschool? She's 3. What school are you speaking
of? Yeah, I'm home cleaning up, picking up toys and things that are...
But everybody has their own thing, you know? And I don't think there's a wrong or a right. But people have different... they have different preferences.
But I think the way you did it is good, because the kid eventually on their own, if they, are like by 5, they're like, I want to get out of here. Let me go to school. And they're excited
about it. I didn't want to have that separation thing. And I saw that frequently when she ended up going to preschool. There were kids coming in that were only 3 years old, and they didn't want to be ripped away from their parents. I mean, it was always a problem.
Yeah.
You know, and then, of course, the kid gets used to it, because, whatever you do, they're going to get used to it. It doesn't make it right or wrong, but they're going to get used to it anyway.
Yeah.
The point is, though, and then when my kid, then she turns five, she goes to kindergarten, and now she's in the public school system. So that's like the path that I've chosen. But then I have a lot of friends, like I said, that do homeschool their kids, and they do it for different reasons.
Yeah. Well, tell me some of these reasons.
Well, one of the main reasons I think people do homeschooling is that they are not pleased with the school environment, the school that their children would go to.
Well, yes, your child is now in LAUSD, the Los Angeles United School
My daughter
system.
Is in LAUSD, but she's also in like one of the best elementary schools in the whole city. So
right, all the
know,
other schools are
really
on fire. This is how, if you're not from Los Angeles, this is how you know if LAUSD is a good school. If it's not on fire, that's one of the good ones.
I don't think that's necessarily true, but
if it's not smoldering,
that's a big reason why people might homeschool is because they're not happy with the school that their child would go to. Other people do it to provide more religious or moral instruction. You know, they have a certain beliefs, and it's not going to happen in the public school, so they keep them home for that, right?
Yeah. But like, do you mean like how specific?
Well,
do you mean?
Like if you're, I don't know. If you are a born again Christian or any kind of Christian, and you're really, you know, into it.
See, to me though, it seems like if I were say a born again Christian,
that would be hilarious.
That would be hilarious because I would burst into flame. I would move from Hollywood. I would move from Los Angeles. I'd be like, I want to live in Arkansas where I don't have to like spend my entire day telling the kid that everything happening around them is wrong and evil.
Yeah, right.
Like I could just let him go around. Everybody would be talking about God all the time, and they'd be talking about Hollywood, and
well,
it's a disgusting
place.
Well,
you know, there's different communities. I mean, I know plenty of Christians who are very, you know, fundamental in their beliefs, and they'll find their pocket of people here in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
you
true.
Find your look who you hang out with, Hannes. They're
I know,
all
a bunch of damn Packer backers.
anyway, so homeschooling can also be an option for families that live maybe out in a rural area, if it's too far to get to school. Or let's say their parents are split and they live in different places and they still want to share their children. Well, maybe they don't want to put their kid in either of the schools. Maybe they just want to work on it themselves. So I think there's just different reasons. And I don't know about Chris Magaha's reasons. Do you know?
I'm reluctant to start criticizing homeschooling if she's about to tell us that she thinks homeschooling
is
awesome.
Why would you ever criticize?
You said the thing with the parents who are split up. It's like, you know what? That's not fair to the kid. You're like making him go from, you know, he's going to be homeschooled with dad. Now he's going to be homeschooled with mom. In the meantime, he has no contact with any other human beings, and he becomes one of those people who wears a turtleneck at Christmas. And, yeah. Wow.
Well,
for some reason, Sean Merrick really, the image of the turtleneck at Christmas really seemed pretty scary.
I hear what you're saying, but I truly, truly think that that's a, what's the word?
Stereotype.
It's a stereotype because the homeschool children are not cut off from their peers and they're not cut off from seeing other people and socializing. I just don't think that's true. Maybe if they're in the rural area. But what I'm talking about is if you have two parents that live couple of hours apart, right?
Right.
So if the kid goes to school with the mom, then the kid is with the mom every week, Sunday night until Friday night, and the dad only gets to be a dad, 15 hours a week or whatever? In other words, it's not fair. So, I mean, it's complicated. It's complicated.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what to tell you because when my parents split up, it's like my mother stayed in the suburb we lived in so I could go to school, and my dad didn't live that far away, just over the border in on the east side of Milwaukee. And it's like, but they didn't fucking talk to each other. So, like, the school had nothing to do with it.
I see.
It was all toxic by virtue of its own existence.
Okay, well, here is an example.
I'm going to lie down and take a nap now.
Here is an example of a huge success story in homeschooling.
And Let's hear it.
This is with my girlfriend, Lynn Hayes, who is from Pittsburgh, by the way. But she lives out here, and her son is Arden Hayes, and he's 5 years old. And he's been on Jimmy Kimmel twice recently. Have you guys seen Arden Hayes on Jimmy Kimmel?
No.
He's a 5-year-old, incredibly bright child. Incredibly bright. The first time he was on Kimmel, he talked about the president. He knows everything about every president and vice president.
Uh-huh.
And then just when he was on Kimmel last week, he talked about geography. And he knows geography like, you know. And he's not. It's not
was
like
he wearing a Christmas turtleneck during
no,
either
like
of these appearances?
No, he has Asperger's or is autistic or he's not. He has no disabilities. He just happens to be really bright. And his mom has the ability to spend it and awesome, you know, and a lot of quality time.
But my question, this is nature versus nurture. If he's that bright, it's genetic. And the question is, if he were, and I don't know the answer to this, but if he were in a regular school, would he not be that bright anymore? I think he still would be. He'd be smarter than everybody else in class.
Like when she went to take him to kindergarten, you know, they're learning about, you know, bring something to school the color blue, you know, or count out 3 P's. And how could you take your kid back to that if they're so far beyond? So Lynn, I actually wrote to her and I asked her to tell me her 3 favorite things about homeschooling.
Yes.
And then her least favorite things about homeschooling. By the way, Hannes Finney, this is what they call homework.
Ah,
very
good.
Homework for the show.
Right, right. She, by the way, I think her number one thing is going to be the parking is much more ample at home. Because that's what I always hear with parents. It's like, oh, I'm dropping off, I'm picking up.
All right.
Okay, let's hear her.
Okay, the 3 best things. She says that she can tailor the curriculum to her son's interests and needs. So the geography and presidents, I guess.
Right. That's all he'll be able to do.
No.
He won't know anything else. He can't put his pants on, but he can find a president's grave.
Lynn is fortunate enough that, you know, her husband works.
I was going to say, what does her husband do?
She doesn't have to have, you know, she's able to, you know, they have just one income coming in and they're making do with that. They're not wealthy by any means, but they're making do because this is their priority. Okay. Also, she enjoys the teacher ratio 1-to-1.
Right.
That's pretty good. And then she wrote, and she has, let's see, she says, I have to actually add a 4th, although I've only counted 2. Anyway, she says, the pride and joy.
Was she homeschooled? Because that sentence really did not follow any grammatical rules.
The pride and joy I feel being in a large part, my gosh, let's try it again. The pride and joy I feel being in large part responsible for such learning growth. Yesterday, for example, I said to him, you've learned so much already this year, Arden. And he quickly added, and next year. And then, so he and next year. So in other words, he's excited about what he's going to learn next year at home. He's not saying, you know, when am I going to school?
Right. At some point, though,
Well, I mean, we have play dates with him all the time. I mean, so it's not like they're not where.
No, no, no. I'm just figuring at some point he is going to go to school. I just wonder when that's going to be. Is it going to be high school? Is he going to go
straight
into
to Harvard,
college?
I think.
Yeah, he's just going to be a 9-year-old at Harvard.
Okay.
He's Doogie Howser. Oh, my God. You know Doogie Howser.
She also enjoys the flexible
schedule. Kids, let me explain. Doogie Howser was a television show starring Neil Patrick Harris in the old days before cell phones.
Okay. Listen, here come the problems.
Here come the problems. Let's hear them.
She says socialization, not being just around kids every day, which he is. He sees kids all the time, but not always outside of class. But not just not in outside of class, but he has free play and he has friends his own age that are at his same place intellectually. How about that? Another thing she doesn't like is she's been trying to teach him how to type. He does not want to learn to type.
Well, he is a modern kid.
He is 5.
He's like, I want to, you know, he's like, I can invent a thing where I could just talk into the computer.
The
I don't know what you're talking about,
Mom. And the other challenge she has is she's also trying to educate her daughter, who is almost 4 years younger. So she's got... You know what I mean?
That's
so you're homeschooling
kid.
And then
if the daughter isn't a genius like the other one and just a normal intelligence, give her up. Take her to China.
Anyway, so there's a lot to talk about. All right, you guys, I also wanted to remind you that Storyworthy is funded from listeners like you. And if you'd like to donate to the show, you can visit storyworthypodcast.com and click on donate. And tell them about the new thing, Hannes.
Well, basically, it's a monthly donation program. It's very simple. You can sign up and you can give $5 a month or $10 a month.
$5 a month is a worthy donation.
It's a worthy donation. And you're not going to notice anything. $5 a month is not going to be, you know,
but
a drain on you.
If you give us $10 a month, we call that a Storyworthy donation.
Right. And for $25 a month, Christine will come to your home and do unspeakable things. No, for $25 a month, it's called what?
That's called a Storyworthy note. That's called the Best of Storyworthy.
Yes, exactly. And look, you'd pay for this if you know, we're like public TV or public television, except that we don't sit around and act pretentious all the time. We tell a million dick jokes. Aren't you willing to pay $10 a month for the best dick jokes in the podcast business?
You can email us anytime you'd like to. Just go to info@storyworthypodcast.com, info@storyworthypodcast.com. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter @storyworthy.
And follow me on Twitter @HannesFinney.
You've been pretty humorous lately.
I am pretty humorous.
No,
it's true.
No, just lately you've been humorous
on
Twitter.
Yes, I'm trying to be. Looking around at I'll sit there and I stare at it and I think, what am I going to put on? So then I have to go on a Yahoo and look at the news, and then I end up with the Toronto mayor who is Canada is the most polite place on the face of the earth,
right?
And they literally have a bull in a china shop up there, everyone is just like pretending it's not happening.
Is what it's been like.
Yeah,
and it's just such a gift.
Yeah, to us, but everybody up there is just embarrassed.
By the way, we don't usually talk about topical things on the show, but I do want to say, it's been raining here in Los Angeles.
I know, this is much bigger news than the crack smoking there.
Exactly, and last night, my six-year-old crawls into bed with me at about 3 a.m., and we can hear the rain outside on the rain gutter, and it sounds like a tap, 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 tap. And I say, Alabama, do you hear that outside? I said, you know what that is? And she said, drummers? No, Alabama, there's not drummers in the driveway.
It's God's tears because you didn't pick up your toys.
Also, folks, feel free to leave us a good review on iTunes. We can always use the good review, am I right?
I know. It helps us more than you would think. Just positive things that just pulls it up and pulls it up on the page and makes it more interacts with people and people notice things. It's all the crazy internet world.
All right, folks. So wherever you are, stay tuned because Chris Magaha is on her way here. Next week on Storyworthy, we have actor Dean Haglund.
And I'll be talking about hackers.
Hacker? I don't even know her!
Next week on Storyworthy.
And we're back. We've left Atwater Village, and now we have gone into Las Feliz, Chris Dean's neighborhood, and we've parked outside a home. One of my favorite restaurants.
Oh, Home. Yeah, that is a good restaurant. Across the street, I really like that too, the Alcove. That's really
good. I don't like the Alcove. It's too hip for me.
It's a little overpriced, but you can sit and people watch for quite a while.
Yeah, but I don't want to watch those people because they're pretentious. You see, I'm like...
Honest, they're not pretentious. You're defensive. You know, you're doing the Milwaukee...
They're pretentious. I'm defensive. Whatever. It all works out the same.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have
think
got
you're better than me.
A real story
telling me
here.
I'm defensive.
And that's a treat. Folks, Chris...
Thank God.
Chris Magaha is here right now. You know, Honest, sometimes I just call her Magaha. Do you do that?
Sometimes I just call her... Nah.
No, but seriously, I think a lot of people just call her Magaha. All right, you guys, Chris Magaha, she's an actress, a comedian, and a television host. You may remember her. It's kind of a while ago now, but boy, it was so important at the time. MTV's Love Line. Do you remember that, Hans?
Love Line.
It was a big deal with Adam Carolla, Dr. Drew. Chris has also done a lot of sketch work on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, and she's also actually did a guest starring role on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Now, right now, she is part of her husband, Eben Schletter's podcast, Eben Schletter's Fantastical Musicorium. And what's really fun about this, she's going to pronounce it right for us, too.
Yeah, that's the most fun part is pronouncing it.
What's really fun about this podcast, it's only been going for a couple of months, but Eben Schletter's Fantastical Musicorium is a podcast for the entire family, and it is so slick and well-produced. My daughter, I just got turned on to it.
So you're saying there are not dick jokes on this show?
There are no dick jokes on this podcast. It's so strange.
I'll listen anyhow.
Anyway, you can find Eben Schletter's Fantastical Musicorium on iTunes or wherever the finest podcasts are heard, and you can find Chris on Twitter, @ChrisMagaha. Folks, wherever you are, please put your hands together for Chris Magaha.
Yay me. Yay me. I will never forget the night I said it. My husband, Eben Schletter, and I were sitting on the couch trying to figure out our schedules. Schedules, schedules, schedules. There were so many schedules. The kids' school schedules. The ballet schedule. Our recording studio schedule. Post-production schedules. The days were always jam-packed with something, and we were always scrambling trying to make it work. To add to this stress, our next year's private school down payment was due. We should homeschool. Oh my God, did I just say that? I had been drinking too much wine. But somehow it just made sense to me. Again, probably just the wine. The private school that we were in was amazing. It was a preschool through sixth grade. We loved it. I will never forget the day we visited the school with our newborn Zoe and met the principal, Sherry. She had a sense of humor and the classrooms were bright and cheery and you didn't feel like the whole building had a cold. This was our school. We wanted in. Not on a waiting list. In. We rushed that school like teenage girls trying to get into a sorority. And we got in, and it was great. Until this past year. Nothing that the school did. They didn't change. We did. By now, we have a boy as well, who is 5. Zoe and Dash, 2 kids, twice as much money, twice as much scheduling, twice as much volunteering, donating, baking, conferences, driving, etc., etc. With the way the economy is and our business changing over the last 5 years, like most people, we found ourselves having to work twice as hard for half the money. So here we were, spending more and more time at the studio, doing more and more projects, and having to do more and more school events and trips and fundraisers. Vacation? Ha! There was no time. And no extra money, even if we had the time. We needed time, as a family. Something had to change. And I said it. We should homeschool. Evan's eyes lit up. Can we do that? Good question. We figured we have a kindergartner and a third grader. How hard can it be? Evan passed the bar exam before he became a composer, and Evan passed the bar exam. I was very shy about telling anyone. I wasn't sure how people would react. There's a weird stigma that comes with it. People either think you're in a religious cult or there's something wrong with your kid. It wasn't until the last few weeks of the school year that we let the other parents and our kids know. Shockingly, our daughter was amazing. She took it very well. She liked the idea of taking schoolwork with her when we finally did these big trips that we were planning. Okay, the selling point was, you get to do school at Disneyland. And because she was fine, her brother saw that, and he was fine too. But many people we told were not fine with it. When I told my neighbor, her first reaction was, you? You can't homeschool. She looked at me like I had said I had planned to host the next Olympics in my yard. But you mostly get, what about socialization? Okay, well, first of all, we have all been privy to quite a few nightmarish school stories. Bullying, your 5-year-old coming home asking about porn and guns, and your daughter wanting to go to American Girl. Not all socialization is good socialization. I realized if someone was going to screw up my kid, I'd rather it be me. And the school we affiliated with has events where you can meet other homeschoolers. What? Okay, let me explain. I did not go out and get my certificate to basically open up a school in my home, which is what you have to do if you are not enrolling your child in any kind of accredited school. No, we joined Laurel Springs, an online accredited virtual school. They give you a teacher, the books, the curriculum, the tactiles like rulers, numbers, blocks, scales, etc. Everything you need to teach your child, except you do it. You scan their work and send it to the teacher. The teacher grades it and keeps records to make sure your child is on par with their grade. You even have meetings via Skype with your teacher. So when the new school year started, we were all very excited. There were a few bumps in the road, like when Zoe took a 4-hour online assessment test and I forgot to write down her score. And how Evan and I didn't even look at the curriculum until the night before we were supposed to start, and the first page says, please read the entire year's curriculum before starting. Oops. Yeah, it was going to be an adjustment. But my biggest fear became socialization, because people kept commenting on it. So I began to fear, what if they're right? I've taken my children away from their school friends. I did have a few parents who were kind enough to keep up playdates with us, but that wasn't day to day. Luckily, Laurel Springs, our virtual school, had real life get-togethers where you can meet other kids enrolled in the program. Yay! My kids could have school friends too. When the day came, I was like a giddy girl going to a junior high mixer. Who would be there? Would they be cool or a bunch of freaks? Would they think we were cool or a bunch of freaks? Zoe couldn't go, so I went alone with my date, my 5-year-old boy, Dash. The party was at the Oakwood Apartments. Basically, a glamorous refugee studio apartment complex for divorcees, actors, and families who bring their kids to Hollywood for pilot season. When we arrived at the rec center, there were a few balloons and a table for name tags. I don't know what I was expecting, but I started getting worried. A very friendly woman greeted us. Hi, what's your name? Oh, it's so nice to meet you, Chris and Dash. I don't believe that there are any other kindergartners here yet, but there is ice cream. And karaoke will start soon. Karaoke? Okay, right to be worried. My tiny only heard ice cream and doesn't know what karaoke is, but if he did, he would probably take the ice cream to go. We got our frozen dessert and sat alone at one of the huge white linen-covered tables with plastic flower centerpieces. This didn't look like a school function, but more like an Amway sales conference. I expected to see about 20 men in suits all named Bob and Ted. Instead, my eyes were drawn to a nearby table of teen boys giggling over an iPad. The parents of the boys sat nearby swapping stories. I thought, well, they seem normal. I came to find out later that two were swim phenoms, another a tennis pro, and one kid a math whiz. They had all been in the program for a few years and were friends. Okay, well, these kids are normal and made friends. I must find my kids' friends. They must be normal. I looked and I didn't see anyone my kids' ages. They were all older. I stopped the friendly host as she walked by. Are there any like third graders or kindergartners here?
No. So far, except for Dash, the youngest is in fifth grade. But karaoke will start soon.
Fuck karaoke, I need friends. Then I recognized a girl from my daughter's ballet class getting ice cream. She smiled slightly.
Hi, I said. Aren't you friends with my daughter?
Yeah, ballet, right?
Yes, yes, and you go to Laurel Springs. This is so fun. Maybe we can do a school play date.
No, my brother goes here. I go to regular school.
Oh, shut down by a ballerina. Get out of here. Shoo, go eat your ice cream.
Poop, 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 poop. There it was. That awkward pounding on a live mic. The I'm starting the Amway speech now sound.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, now turn it off.
Hello, students and friendly faces. We are so glad to have you here.
I started to plot my escape. This was a bust. I looked at my boy covered in ice cream. He had eaten his weight in sugar. Okay, are you done? We should go. I said as I looked in vain for more napkins. Then it happened. Across the room in the doorway was a woman in a biker jacket, sunglasses, and crazy red hair. She looked like she had just motorcycled in from a Hell's Angels rally, except for the pristine kid next to her, a girl, about 9.
Perfect.
I watched like a hawk as she awkwardly tried to figure out what to do. The host was still chattering away doing commentary to a video that she was now playing. My motorcycle mama was scouring the room looking for a place to sit. I pleaded with my eyes that she would see my sad little table with just me and my dairy-covered son, but alas, no. I watched as she bravely walked past all the tables and sat in the front row. Ballsy, I like it. This redheaded vixen would be my new mom friend. Oh yes, she will be mine. Her kid walked right past the host and her microphone toward the ice cream buffet.
That was by me, yay!
Stay here, don't move, I said to Dash as I stalked my prey to the buffet.
Hi, Amber, I said as I read her name tag.
Hi, she said as she poured a pound of sprinkles onto her scoop of chocolate.
Chocolate, my God, and a kid.
How old are you?
9. Yay, my daughter is 9.
Really?
Her sweet face lit up.
Where is she?
She's not here, I cheered.
She would be, but she couldn't come.
Amber just stared back down at her sprinkles. Oh my God, she thinks I'm a pedophile. Those people the motorcycle gang warned her about.
No, I'm here with him.
I pointed to my boy who was now sucking on a napkin. She continued to stare at her bowl, afraid to move. Okay, bye. I ran back to my table. I sat in horror as I watched her go back to her seat and tell her mom that some woman had just approached her. She pointed. Motorcycle mama took off her glasses and she looked at me. She turned and she whispered back to her daughter. I assumed it was something about kicking my ass as soon as karaoke was done. Not to worry.
Okay, so if you have any questions, we're going to be available to you. Now, let's pass out those songbooks and get this party started.
There was a smattering of applause. I had no choice. I had to receive my fate. I grabbed my boy and I bravely walked over to her table.
Hi, I'm the woman who stalked your child.
She laughed. Well, that tis an entrance. She had a lovely English accent. English, sense of humor, a rockin' style. I must have her. Turns out, like me, she wanted to find her kid a school friend, someone she could do homework with, and when she talked to other kids, not feel like a freak. Oh, here's my friend from school, yada, yada, yada. And they did, and they became buddies. They had nice play dates together, and they are looking forward to doing school at Disneyland.
Mm-hmm. Hey, so have you had any other get-togethers with those families, or with the school?
Or just
there was,
that one.
So far, there was only the one mixer this year. I mean, we started this year, August.
Okay.
And so far, there's only been this one mixer thing.
So it's just been like 4 months. This mm-hmm. is still pretty new.
Very new.
Now, did Dash find a friend?
Fuck him. He's the second.
Yes.
No.
He's on the car right now.
He's kindergartner.
No, we haven't. We have not gotten a little Laurel Springs friend for him. But I know it sounds awful, but I was way more worried about Zoe because she had been in regular private school since she was three, and she's now nine. That's 6 years of that socialization, going to school every day kind of thing. And now Dash is five, and he started when he was three. It was only 2 years for him, you know. There's a big difference between the
children. But that doesn't mean Zoe doesn't have the friends that she went to school with, right? Does she still see those kids?
No,
but she's not seeing them every day in that structure.
God bless Georgia Luber, because I have been very fortunate that I have had some people from our old school we continued some play dates, but Zoe's best friend is this little girl named Willa, and her mom went way beyond. Bless her, because she enrolled her daughter in the same ballet school, as well as we set up a permanent play date at the Silver Lake Conservatory Choir.
Oh, that's
it sounds
so
to
nice.
Me like
so
this woman is stalking you the way you were stalking the British biker.
You know
chick.
What? She can have me, because yeah. She's like the greatest woman. I did have some of the people from the old school continue trying to keep play dates.
Right.
And like I said, Zoe's best friend was Willa, and we set that up to where that can happen.
Right. So now, is she still friends with the little girl she met at the mixer?
Yeah.
That's good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And she's a dancer, too. So she's a dancer. So she gets busy with her things, but Zoe's a dancer, too. And so they get busy with that kind of stuff. But they do things like even virtual play dates, like on Club Penguin.
Oh, how cute.
You know, there's like Club Penguin where you can get your own little penguin
this
and talk.
This is a big
stuff.
Deal, though, that you did this all by yourself and then you made this decision. Now, did you have to make the decision to homeschool before you told the public school we're not coming, or you just didn't enroll, or how do you transition?
We told the school. We told the school, and we were at a private school.
Mm-hmm.
And we told them, we went in and had that very awkward conversation with the principal, because we've been there for so long, you know,
right.
And say, we're not going to be back next year, because you had to pay, you know, you have to pay your down
tuition,
payment, and it's not a small amount of money. And they're like, hello, we want our money. And you're kind of going, well, we're not coming back.
And so.
And yet, did they still have a certain sense of entitlement? Like, well, no, you're enrolled. You know, you've been here. You owe us money. It's like, no, you're selling a product.
Yeah, there's that. And I have to say, they were very great about it. I was very surprised, because I thought that they were going to look at us and go, yeah, good luck with that. They were like, you know what? They were very supportive, and they were going, you know what? That's very popular now, of like trying to do alternative ways of schooling. And she goes, I'm fascinated by this. She goes, you let me know how it goes. Keep us posted. And
yeah, she's like, I'm looking for a new job. So you let me know if they're hiring.
Now, the teaching part of it, let's hear about it. How is it?
It's been hard. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say it's the easiest, breeziest, everything. But I will say that both of my kids are actually ahead of the regular school system.
Interesting.
Because of the fact that if you really break it down, really, truly break down what kids do in school, you've got, you know, some schoolwork, then you have recess, and then you have lunch, and then you have whatever. It only comes to literally about 3 hours a day that they're actually doing any work.
I believe that.
And what happens is, you know, if your kid gets it and is excited about whatever you're learning, they can't continue. If Bobby over here is having struggles, they're going to have to be focused on Bobby. Let's get Bobby on the same level as we are and doing that kind of stuff. It ends up being where your kids then might get bored of it, you know.
Right. Or left behind.
Right. I would like to point out that Chris, when she needed somebody to indicate the slow student, pointed right at me and used me as the example.
Now, hello.
But you're right.
Though.
Yeah, it's like 50 kids, and they're not all the same.
And they get distracted. Or there might be something that your kid is like super interested, as in you were talking about that other child who really is interested in the States
geography
and all that stuff.
Or whatever, right.
You know, if your kid's interested in it, you can continue on.
Go with
both
that.
Both of my kids are, I think, Dashiell's on like week, like, I don't know, like 15 or 20 or something, and like some of the English stuff that he really likes, and Zoe's ahead in the English, you know.
So do you have a syllabus, or what do you have? What is your materials?
Okay, here's what happens if you do like I did and go and get with one of these pros. And the reason we went with this program is because it wasn't religious based. Not that we're, you know, the private school that we were at was Jewish, Temple Israel. But it's non-religious based. It's more for professional kids who do acting or do
sports.
Dancing or sports or whatever. Kids who need that sort of free time where they can work at their own pace. And what they do is they send you everything.
everything.
Which you're supposed to read before.
What I mean is, like, they sent you boxes of books for the kids. Everything, like, even the extra books that the kids are going to be reading. You know, they give you, they send you scales and rulers
and all
the
You're paying some
money. This is a technically a private
It's a private homeschooling situation.
Right. But it's nowhere near.
Basically, it's kind of a kit.
It is a kit. It's a kit on how to teach your school. And
you know, I'm starting to come around to this homeschooling because I'm remembering being in school and it's like, I was easily distracted, but I was also, I mean, I'm not a genius like your little friend you were talking about, but I was always smarter than whatever kids
were
my age. So I would look around and go, you guys are friggin' idiots.
Mm-hmm.
And it would just not interest me at all. The problem is, though, now that I can think of it, my parents would have been incapable of doing the homeschooling, although perhaps it would have been a... So, I don't have an actual solution to this.
Well,
let me ask you this, Chris.
But you're also given a teacher. You're also given a teacher that, you know, if you have any questions or you're confused about something or your kid's confused about
something. Is there any Skyping going on with the teacher?
Lots of Skyping.
Because Sherry right now is doing some consulting stuff with, she has several degrees in special ed. And so she's working for a private company that it's all about, you know, you're Skyping with these kids
she's teaching through Skyping. Teacher, right, through
and
Skype
she's through Skyping, which is just like a weird thing.
She's with high school kids, though, right?
Yeah, I think it was the seventh grade. But like today, when I was leaving, it's like I had, you know, to like scrunch down and go past the computer. So this easily distracted
person. Would be so distracting if you're trying to teach your kid to, you know, be homeschooled and you got your kid in front of the computer and then you see the teacher and then you see you walk by in the background.
No, that's what I'm saying.
On.
And the kid would be like, who's that?
Freak you
what
out,
is that?
Man.
Yeah.
That'd be
that was the most hilarious thing.
Also, I was naked. I'm sorry. Did I leave that part out?
That was the thing with our first parent conference, you know, parent-teacher conference.
Sure.
We had never Skyped with her before, except for, like, whatever, one time with Zoe or whatever. And we were doing this parent-teacher conference. And, you know, so we're on there typing to each other. I thought it was just going to be a thing where we're just typing, you know, IMing back and forth kind of thing. Or, or having her call us or something like that. So we get online, and the next thing I know,
she's there.
And I'm like, oh, look, we could see her. And then I'm like, oh, shit, she could see us. Because I had, like, you know, no makeup
curlers in your hair.
Oh my gosh. I was still in my pajamas and
cigarette.
It was like noon. I was like, and that is the other good part about homeschooling, by the way, is that you get to be in your pajamas like most of the day.
That's
most of the
beautiful.
Kids get to be in their pajamas.
And the parking, like Hannah said.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. I just have to say, because when Sherry was Skyping, she's like, I got to put on a regular shirt.
Yeah.
She was still wearing her nightgown.
Right.
She's like the newsman who's wearing jean shorts and a suit and tie on the top behind the desk.
Right.
So, Chris, are you and Eben going to split up some of this teaching, or how's that work with you and your husband?
We try to do it pretty much half and half. Like, I do Dash and he does Zoe, except when he's like, you know, crazy with like some sort of deadline.
You don't do it by subjects. Like,
no.
You do math and reading and he does science and history.
No, he does. No, it's more like he handles Zoe. Zoe math. I mean, he handles Zoe a lot, and then I just do Dash. At least that's how we started. And then it kind of got, when he got really, really busy with, like, because he's doing the Birthday Boys, he's got like three shows on IFC he's doing. When he gets really, really swamped, then I kind of like will step in and just kind of take over all of it.
And so, but you've got like, she's got her curriculum and Dash has his curriculum.
Correct.
It's interesting.
Occasionally, I can knock out two at one, like with health or with science projects or something. So occasionally, I can kind of mesh the two together.
And do you think the children at some point will go back to public school? I mean, who knows, right?
I have no idea. I would assume so. I mean, if...
Who knows?
Who
knows? Maybe eighth grade, ninth grade, or...
Yeah, I'm certainly not going to be able to be teaching algebra.
But this is where when you get into the programs like Laurel Springs, where, you know, they'll have like an algebra, somebody who knows algebra well, so then the kids will go to that person. And
they do. They do have that.
Split off, as it were. And you're doing this primarily, or one of the reasons, because your kids are getting into the industry. The
Correct.
Show business industry.
Correct.
And how is that working out?
It is the thing of, like, you know what, if you just open the door, sometimes it'll just all come, you know, to fruition, because it was amazing to me that this year Dashiell, well, they both have done like two or three commercials. Dashiell just finished his second movie. Zoe was in a movie.
To auditions, how's that working out? You know, like, and then they audition, and then do they know that they don't get a role, or there's no expectation on getting it, or how is that working out?
Yeah, it's never been a problem. It's just basically we just say, you know what? Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Maybe they're looking for brunette. Maybe they're looking for this or whatever. Right. It's all just practice to me. It's right. Like, I think any chance that you get to go in and like speak in front of somebody or do something like that is all just going to make you a better person and develop different skills.
So like, my daughter did a commercial with me when she was just a baby, maybe 18 months old. And then she started going out and auditioning for like 2 years. She had an agent, but she, you know, once she was able to vocalize to me, I don't want to do this. Then of course I have to say, okay, we're not doing it. So, but when it's with me, like if it's daughter and mother and daughter, right, then she will go with me. So a couple of weeks ago, me and Alabama had this commercial for Smucker's peanut butter, and she's supposed to be like looking out into the distance, and she's dreaming about being an Olympic skater or an Olympic whatever, sledder. And I bring over a plate of sandwiches, and there's just a little like back and forth between the two of us, and that's it. Anyway, we get the call back. So we go to the call back. And now, you know, when you go to a callback, you're in a room and there's like several advertising people there. There's maybe seven or eight people in the room. There's a cameraman. It's a little more intense.
It's the least kid-friendly place in the world.
Absolutely. Right. If you're a kid, this is going to be tough. And so they say, you know, slate your name, which means you would just say, you know, Christine Blackburn or whatever. So she would say her name and then she should say, I'm 6 years old. That's what she should say. Yeah. My name's Alabama. I'm 6 years old. That's what she should say. But my daughter, for the callback, and I don't know where this came from, she's standing right beside me. She puts her hands up over her head like she's like rabbit ears, and she goes, and she and like little peace signs over her head, and she goes, my name is Alabama. I am a robot. And I'm looking at her like, what are you doing, man? What are you fucking doing? This is an opportunity to book a job.
You're dragging me down, Alabama. Right.
And so then the camera guy goes, okay, great, Alabama. Can we do that one more time without your hands over your head? So she puts her hands straight to her side and she goes, I am Alabama. I'm 6 years old. She blew it. She totally blew it. So we're not, my daughter is a little more, she's not as pliable.
I think she still didn't want to actually be there. Or she's a creative genius and someday she'll be like,
right?
You'd be like, oh, it's amazing.
Hey, Chris, you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
I will try. Sure.
Let's get the giant wheel.
That music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel.
Virginity, gong, gong, gong. Okay, virginity. So I'm just going to talk about how when I lost my virginity, it was a guy that I had been with forever. I did the whole shenanigans of going to the high school prom with him and all this other stuff. And we finally got to where it was the time to do it. And his was the first one I'd ever seen. I never even seen a penis before. And it was like, I didn't realize it was like that small because I never seen one before. So we did it and I was like, I mean, like, you know, we got naked, we did it, and I was like, oh, okay, well that's interesting. And I had heard all those stories about how, you know, there's gonna be blood and there's gonna be this thing, it's gonna be really painful. And I was like, aren't I the luckiest girl in the world? I didn't have any of that problem. Smash cut to the second time we do it. He was getting all fancy and like pulled me down and legs up and all of a sudden, and boom, boom, pop. He did the hymen. He broke the hymen. And it wasn't until I think it was our second one. And both of us were like frozen in fear of like, what just happened? And then it all just dawned on us of like, I lost my virginity without losing my virginity. Like the first time we did it.
That's amazing.
Wow, that's one of my favorite virginity stories ever.
I just want to say that sound.
Pop.
It's not a good. No, I can say that.
That wasn't a good sound.
I have a sound where it was like ripping muslin.
Ooh. Oh my!
Oh,
gosh.
I know,
guys. What is going on?
It was horrible.
What the hell is happening with this show?
That was it. That was when after I had I was single for the first time in a long time. And I was 36. Started going with a 26-year-old virgin. Yeah, you see, this is where it was like, and just like, that was like. That was a bad night.
You drove. Didn't you drive to some like the fucking middle of the desert?
No, that was the woman who. This is before that. Then she becomes a park ranger in Death Valley, And so I drive to Death Valley, basically
on
a 5-hour booty call.
That is a man wanting to.
Yeah, exactly. That was. So I get there, and I don't realize how fucking long it's going to take to get to Death Valley. I finally get to her
vagina.
Her
park housing.
No, not her vagina.
Park ranger housing.
Her mobile home.
Right.
Yay. Which is what we used to call her vagina. And it's like, I think I'm doing her a favor. I'm like, you don't have to worry about me causing any trouble tonight. I am freaking exhausted. I don't want to do anything. But of course, she had like driven 3 hours to the nearest town and bought the only lingerie in town. So she's like all ready to go. And I walk in and I'm like, Jesus Christ, you're in the middle of fucking nowhere. I don't want to have any sex at all. And it's like, and she bought the only candle she could find in that town.
Aww.
Jesus candles.
Yay. Awesome.
And so there's like reflections of Jesus all over the place. And I'm like, get off of me. Oh,
But you did have sex then.
Well, yeah, eventually. But I thought, I was like so stupid that I was like thinking that, you know, she'd be like all worried. I'd jump in and grab her. I'm like, hey, don't worry about it. I just want to go to sleep. And she's like, let's go.
Women get hungry for sex too, apparently.
Yes. I know it's a weird thing. Speaking of sex, I just have to say this thing about Chris McGaha. If you follow us on Facebook, Chris McGaha is the woman who cannot stop commenting on pictures of Christine's cleavage.
Really? I haven't noticed that. I mean, Chris and I—we go way back, but I wouldn't say that.
Done that several times where you're like, "Look at that."
I probably. It wouldn't
you do
surprise
that. I
noticed me.
It's a very weird thing.
It wouldn't surprise
really
me
exciting
if I was talking about her cleavage,
Dean,
your package, and anybody else.
Sean, put your pants on. You're not.
You are
okay.
So funny, Hannes. Okay, wait. So I wanted to say, I think that's a sweet virginity story, though, in that you two knew each other for so long.
No, we did. We dated all through high school, and you know everybody else was doing all sorts of naughty things. And he was my everything, my first of everything, basically, like my first real dating experience, my first boyfriend.
And that's who you want somebody like that for.
Yeah.
Zoe, right?
Well, how long did you?
Yeah.
So when did you guys stop going out after high school was over, or when?
This is going to make me sad. My friend Diane sabotaged my relationship.
Really?
She
that
did.
Bitch.
In college or when?
No. It was like right. It was right after, you know, all we were dating. She, long story short, she had been single and she wanted to, you know, she's like, why are you? She was just jealous of the relationship, and she was like, why are you still with Matt? You know,
oops. Did you tell her about the popping?
Yeah.
Matt,
no.
Now we can track him down. There's hardly anyone named Matt. If his name is Hannes, then don't say.
This is so awkward.
You were mad, Matt Damon? What?
She wanted me to start. She's like, what are you doing? You're about to graduate. You should be dating a bunch of different people. And she basically, I'm vulnerable, I'm stupid, and I totally bought into it. And I was like, yeah. She goes, yeah, you should break up with him and start dating. All these guys want to go out with you. I know all these guys want to go out with you. And of course, I'm like an idiot. I destroyed him. I broke up with him. I destroyed him. And I remember going, what did I just do?
Yeah, and why?
Because you know what? Nobody did want to date me. Nobody did. I was like, you know, everybody knew me and Matt and knew that I destroyed him.
Well, they heard
him.
How you destroyed Matt, so they were like, nah, no way.
And I begged him to get back together. I will never forget. I begged him to get back together. And we did. And it was just
sometimes when you get back together after
it
that,
was not
it
the
just,
same.
No, it's not the same. It repeats the
whole
thing.
Is he waiting for the
thing.
Shoe to drop?
No,
it
repeats
totally,
it quickly.
Yeah,
totally.
It doesn't really work.
That was my first huge, enormous fuck up.
Got back together, though, right? Because you realize then you get back together. I mean, in other words, that's how you know, because you broke up. You I'm going to say this wrong, but you knew it, you didn't mean to do it. You did it for the wrong reasons.
I totally did it for that. He was
there.
He
the
had
trust
done
was
nothing.
Gone.
Totally.
Yeah.
Why would he trust me? But long story short, but we did become friends again. We actually even kind of dated again, sort of pseudo.
Are you Facebook friends now?
Yeah, we're Facebook friends.
Nice.
He's married. He's got a great life. He's got a great wife. He's,
so you're
oh,
saying,
you know,
nice.
Yeah, he's got kids.
No,
we're friends.
Okay.
Well, listen, we're so happy to have you on the show. Really, you're such a delight.
Oh,
always.
Thank you.
And
yes.
Again, it's Eben Schletter's Fantastical Musicatorium.
The Fantastical Musicorium. The Fantastical Musicorium. You can get it on iTunes. You can get it on Libsyn. You can, you know.
Terrific show.
And
it really is
thank
for the whole
you.
Family.
Yeah. Well, the first, there's a couple of episodes in there. I mean, there's never any language. There's never any bad words or anything like that. I think some of it is obviously going to hold like kids' attention way more than some of the
it's
other
very
ones.
Smart.
Thank you. But like this last episode, you know, has
it's entirely
stuff with
about
SpongeBob.
No,
and it has SpongeBob and has a lot of other stuff. And again, it's got two kids on it, which is fun for other kids, I think, to hear.
Sure it is. Absolutely. Oh, yeah, I just love it. I just love it. All right, you guys, we're going to wrap it up right about now. Mm-hmm. I would like to thank Sean Merrick here at Sideshow Network. Always working so hard for everybody, don't you, Sean? It's like you care.
Wake up,
it's
Sean.
So
wake up.
Unusual.
Wake up. Good Lord.
And of course, on behalf of our storyteller tonight, Chris Magaha.
Magaha.
And of course, John Thomas Griffith. You know, that's the guy who wrote the theme song, Follow Me.
Interesting. I lost my hymen to him.
And on behalf of you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.